And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's Expository Thursday.
Expository Thursday.
As we work together to know the letter better into the narrative of the Book of Acts, we travel to understand what things the Lord requires of us as we learn to apply God's timeless truths in our lives. First, we find ourselves in the Book of Acts, chapter 21, verse 29, where Paul is in a challenging situation. You ever been in one of those? James and the church elders are seeking his assistance to alleviate what seems to be significant frustration among Hebrew Christians. They weren't discouraging belief in Jesus, but they were accusing Paul of disregarding the Old Testament, which was not Paul's message. So James and the elders are attempting to devise a solution to reduce the tension in the church. Boy, that must have just happened in the first century, trying to reduce tension in a church. Next, the proposed solution is for Paul and his companions to adhere to some Old Testament practices, demonstrating their respect for it. This was not for salvation purposes, but rather to acknowledge the Old Testament's influence on New Testament believers. Very important point. But finally, since God is in control, not the elders or anybody else, by the way, while Paul was in the temple, he was falsely accused, of course, trying to do a good thing, and then look what happens. But it was orchestrated. Paul had thought the people had thought they'd seen Paul in the temple earlier with Gentiles, where the Gentiles weren't permitted. So they assumed, think of the odd couple, they assumed incorrectly that Paul had brought the Gentiles into the temple. This false assumption caused an uproar, a commotion, based on a lie against Christians. Get that? A false assumption caused an uproar, a commotion that was based on a lie, and it was against Christians. That was true then, and it remains true today.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations, spiritual observations. My life's insanities, and oy vey, so much more. Hey. We're asking you, what do you think? So you can email us during the show, david@hemusincrease.org. That's david@hemusincrease.org. You can text us live during the show. So whether you're in San Diego or whether you're in Denver, whether you're in Dallas or whether you're in Detroit, doesn't matter. You can text us live during the show, 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Or you can call us. That's fun, too. 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. Now, when you make that phone call, guess what? You'll end up talking to Jammin' Jacob. Talking to Jammin' Jacob is the same feeling you get when you're being appreciated.
Aww, that's so nice.
Thank you, David. Happy Thursday.
Happy Thursday to you, my friend. Good job getting that information from our brother. And so we've already given a book away. We're going to still give a book away tomorrow. We'll see what next week brings. We'll just kind of take it one thing at a time. Here's the bottom line, folks. Maybe you've got a prayer request. Here's my attitude. You got a prayer request? Bring it. Like that? It's like the Matrix thing, right? Where he pulls his hand out and he goes, come here, bring it. because we'll bring it to the Lord in prayer. We have so many testimonies. We do. People would be amazed. We have praise reports about answers to prayer. It's got nothing to do with us. It's got everything to do with God. But it also has to do with us bringing our faith together and lifting it up to the Lord and saying, we need your help. And so he will, and everyone? No. Does every prayer get answered? No. Does every person get saved when you share the gospel? No. But you don't stop witnessing, and you don't stop praying. And so we bring our prayer requests to the Lord. Praise reports are just phenomenal. They honor God, they bless the person who shares it, and they bless the people who hear it. It's like a threefold blessing. How cool is that, right? We do weird stuff. We do jokes. That's right. We do jokes. We do history. I share some of my life. It's kind of bizarre. I've had a bizarre life. That's true. We also do Bible trivia. Thinking, Bible trivia? What kind? This kind. How many daughters-in-law did Naomi have? Did she have one, two, or three daughter-in-laws? Did she have one, two, or three daughter-in-laws? The reference point will be in Ruth chapter 1, verses 1 through 7. How many daughters-in-law? You see, that's sneaky right there because that's already a plural. So you already know it's two of three answers. How many daughters-in-law, plural, did Naomi have? One, two, or three? Ruth chapter 1, verses 1 through 7 is where you want to go. If you think you know the answer, also you can call in 972-445-0770. You can also text 214-210-8483. As well, you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. So now that I've read the question, I realize how that needs to be worded differently. How many daughters, plural, in law did Naomi have? Is it one, two, or three? those are the funny things that happened. I'm live during radio. You're like going, I should have wrote that differently. That's not brilliant. Anyhow, so we've got that going on. We're going to find out. Somebody is ready, I think, maybe, to answer the trivia question calling in. I believe that would be the case. Let me check in right now. Is somebody ready to answer the trivia question? They are. Let's send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
David, how are you? This is Al from Grand Prairie, Texas.
Hello. How are you doing?
I'm well. Thank you.
All right. Awesome. I'm very, very glad. How are things going today? You having a good day?
Things are going well. Yes, sir.
Awesome. That's two awesomes in a row. That's really good. All right. Here we go.
My friend John that listens to you all the time, I'm riding with him today.
Oh,
so
bless
you. John, and so we heard the trivia question. He's always, he always comes back to work and asks me the trivia question.
That's like having a reference right by you. Hey, what's this
there
one? Hey, what's this one? All right, here we go. Let me set it up for you, and then you'll have a chance to knock it out of the park. How many daughters, right. How many daughters-in-law did Naomi have? Is it one, two, or three?
She had three.
Okay, back it up. If it wasn't three, how many would it be?
Say again?
If it wasn't three daughters-in-law, how many would it be? If it wasn't three, she had multiple daughters, but if it wasn't three, what would be the next guess? If it's not three, one, two, or three?
Well, she originally had three, but two of them went back to their families, and Ruth stayed with her.
I think the total might be one less than three. Is that
two?
Yep, I think it's two. Let's do this, though. Hold on, brother. Hold on. I'm with you, so let's just make sure, okay? I mean, I do it on the air so that people can know. I don't want you to think I'm just like, hey, he's making that up. No, I promise I'm not making it up, but I think we'll just pop in. Is that okay if we pop into Ruth real fast and just check?
Yes.
Okay.
Let's pop into Ruth and see.
Okay. Here it is.
That's a wonderful story, Ruth.
Yes. That's unbelievable, right? It's phenomenal.
Kinsman Redeemer, yes.
That's phenomenal, phenomenal, phenomenal. But in Ruth chapter 1, so I'm going to read it to you because I want everybody to hear it. 1,
okay.
This is 1 through 7. It says, it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land. A certain man in Bethlehem, Judah, went to dwell in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. The name of See right there?
I know what I was thinking. Both her sons died, but her husband died also.
That's correct. You got
it
exactly.
I think that's where I came up with the three. Yeah.
Exactly right. But see, that's all right, because now, in the future, when somebody says to you, well, how many daughters-in-law did you have? You look at them and you'll go, two. And
two.
I promise you that's correct. Excellent job. That's the great kind of call, because you were thinking it. You had it going. You just, oh, yeah, yeah, that's the husband, not one of the kids. Oh, yeah, yeah. Excellent job. What a blessing. Man, you are welcome to call and pop in anytime. And love it. You did a great job.
God bless you, brother. Keep up the good work.
Thank you. Take care. God bless you. Bye-bye. Phenomenal. See, I'm willing to do that because I know. And see, and I don't blame him at all, because that's exact. Because you think about it, it's like, well, there were three dudes. That's right. And all the three guys died. That's exactly right. So good call on his part to bring that out. Okay, in the meantime, we got to do our DNA. And why do we do our DNA? Because I'm not doing this radio show unless we do our DNA. Now, when I say that, I'm not telling you I have to read the DNA. I have to do the DNA. Not read it, do it. But here I'm going to read it. DNA is our building blocks, what we're made of. D stands for draw closer to the Lord. How often should we do that?
Daily.
How often should we do that?
Every day.
Okay. Every 24-hour period kind of thing? Yeah, that kind of, every day?
Yep, Monday through Sunday.
Okay. Remember the newspaper and Superman? The Daily Planet. See, that's all you got to remember. Okay, just do it. Do it based on the newspaper from Superman. The Daily Planet. Draw closer to the Lord daily. Why? Because we need it. Forget all the other stuff. Stop trying to be overly spiritual. You need more of God. I need more. We all need more of God. The entire country needs more of God. Every person in politics, every person in academia, every person in Hollywood, every person on social media needs more of God. Some of them need to be introduced to God. Well, a lot of them, but that's besides the point. Draw closer to the Lord daily. D, and never be ashamed of Jesus or his words. Again, I'm reading today in Luke chapter 18. You can't get away from it. It's just incredible. So in Luke chapter 18, verse 31, 32, and 33, Jesus is telling his disciples, this is going to happen, this is going to happen, and they're like going, what? Like, they didn't get it. That you're never ashamed of Jesus' words, even if you don't understand every single principle. I haven't met any person on this planet ever, and I have talked to legions, I shouldn't say legions, but thousands and thousands of people. I don't know one person who knows it all except for Jesus. And because I don't understand it all, I'm not ashamed. I love the Word of God. And I don't understand everything God's doing, but I love the Lord. And that makes me understand that his word is faithful and true. Never be ashamed of Jesus or his words. Jesus said, if you're ashamed of me and my words, I'll be ashamed of you when I come back in glory with the Father. It's like, don't do that. And by the way, that references Luke 9:26. And then it says, D, draw closer to the Lord daily. N, never be ashamed of Jesus or his words. And A, always be ready.
To serve.
It's so important. Now, that doesn't mean that you are going to go somewhere and spend 9 hours a day volunteering. It doesn't mean you can't. It doesn't mean there's nothing forbidding you from doing that. But to always be ready to serve means simply this. You are ready if the Lord directs you for whatever. And the only way to really be ready is to have a daily relationship and not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So the first two build up to the third, and Jesus came not to be served, but to serve. And the truth, and this is absolutely the truth, it's amazing, is that when we stop focusing just on ourselves and we have other people in our group, in our thought process, in our universe, we do better. We add more life into our life. We add more life into our life by having other people's lives in us and with us, and we participate with them by the grace of God, being led by the Lord through the redeeming work of Jesus Christ, and the Lord blesses you for that. Like, come on, that's just so good. I mean, that's better than I'm going to ever be by myself. That's like that. I need that. I want to do that. DNA. Draw closer to the Lord daily and never be ashamed of Jesus or his words. A, always be ready to serve, which is a super cool way to say don't be selfish. Okay? Okay. There you go. All right. We're going to take our break, and then we're going to come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
I got this morning, and it came from Alice Coleman, and I just want to say, she said it's a praise report to share, so I am assuming it's okay to share. Since it's a praise report to share, I kind of go with it. And I want to read it, if that's okay. And I just want you to hear how brothers and sisters petition the Lord, and there's times where God says, yes. Listen to this. And she even writes it beautifully. Beautiful job by Alice, by the way. This may seem like a minor issue, but it could have gotten much worse quickly. I'm fostering Mama Cat and her four kittens until they're ready to go to their forever homes. On Tuesday, I got a bit too close to the Mama Cat, and she swatted my hand. I had a few scratches, so I cleaned them up and applied antibiotics. In just a few hours, I had a swollen hand, red with infection, and it spread beyond my wrist. My doctor had same-day appointments if needed. However, I didn't have my car since it was being repaired. The only thing left was for me to pray for healing for my hand. Isn't that amazing that sometimes you're in the position and the only thing left to do is call upon God? She writes, as I watched the infection spread over my hand began to throb. I knew I needed help. I asked God for healing over and over again. On Wednesday, it looked really bad, and I kept asking God for healing. Let me just commend Alice for pushing until something happens. About mid-morning on Wednesday, my hand quit throbbing. Then I noticed that the infection was no longer spreading. Later Wednesday, the infection seemed to be getting smaller. By Wednesday evening, it was definitely clearing up. By bedtime, the infection was gone away. Thursday morning, the infection was completely gone. I praise God for healing the infection. It was only by his intervention that my hand was healed. It's amazing that our great and holy Father can care so much that he is willing to heal a hand infection of one of his children. I think that's a fantastic testimony. So mega props, mega props to Alice for doing that. Great job. And I hope that was okay that I shared it. And see, the point is you can pray, you can approach the Lord. And the Lord, you know what? He might say no. I like what Troy said. Sometimes God will say no. It's like, that's the end of it. You're done. But sometimes he allows you to keep petitioning. And the reason he does is because the more you pursue him, the closer connected to him you become. And more of your genuine, real faith has to emerge. See, if you just asked and God did it every time you just asked one time, God would be like a genie. Well, God's not a genie. He's your heavenly Father. Needs to be pursued. Wants to have a wonderful relationship with you. And so the more you pursue, the more he gets to spend time with you, which is what he wants in the first place, what he wanted with Adam and Eve.
The David Spoon Experience.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas, where the show is already halfway over. How does that happen? What happened? I mean, you just like, bink, what? What do you mean it's halfway over? All right, here's
Funny you said that, because about 5 minutes ago, yeah, I looked at the time and I was like, whoa.
It's like, what is going on around here? Okay, here's your trivia question. Now, listen, I'm going to give you a hint. Not that it's really hard, but it's a little hard, but not terrible. How many years did Eli judge Israel? Was it 40, 30, or 50 years? Your answer is in 1 Samuel 4:18, and I will say this. The number is a well-often used number in Scripture. Ha-ha! You should know it because I just did that. How many years did Eli judge Israel? Was it 40 years, 30 years, or 50 years? That's the question. 1 Samuel 4:18 is your reference point, if you think you know. 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483 as well. You can send an email, David, at HeMustIncrease.org. So I got to get into the teaching. Normally I would drop right in here the comedic element, but you're going to have to wait because I didn't get any of the teaching in yet, so I got to start there. Here we go in Acts chapter 21, and we're going to pull it out from verse 29. If you'll remember the situation, Paul and Barnabas came. They met with the Jerusalem elders. Remember, James from Acts 15. That's James, the Lord's brother, not Peter, James, and John, because Peter, James, and John, that James, died in Acts chapter 12. This is a different James. This is the Lord's brother. And so he and all the elders are like, okay, we got a situation. We want to talk to you about it. So before we go anywhere, I just want to point out that churches, okay, churches have always had situations. Stop thinking, well, we're not like the early church. Yes, you are. It's just like it. This is a situation in the church they're having. They're having a problem. It's like that happens a lot. Why? Because we're sinful people. We're redeemed, but there's a lot of goofy in us. And it's just like, be honest. Okay. So we find out that they've got a situation, right? And remember, before people start criticizing the church, I have two things to say. One, people go, I'm not going to the church. It's full of so many hypocrites. You know what the proper reply is? Well, then what's one more? Okay, that's number one. Yeah, that's right. That's funny. And then number two, it's like God loves the church. And you got to be careful talking about the things that God loves, right? Because, right, when you start talking about the things that God loves, God takes it personal. Just ask Saul before he came Paul on the road to Damascus, where God said, you're persecuting me, when Saul was persecuting the church. Get it? Okay, good. All right, so let's back it up. There's a situation that's going on. He says, look, and James is saying, look, we got a problem. The Hebrew Christians are kind of mad at you, and they're mad at you because they hear that you just tell everybody, toss out the Old Testament. Now, that's not the truth, okay? Paul never said that. Romans 15:4, Paul said that things were written aforetime were for our benefit and our encouragement, right? So it's like he supports it. He's in it. He's with it. But they've got this impression, so James is trying to kind of alleviate the tension. So he says this, our suggestion, we have men here who have taken a vow, are preparing to shave their heads, go with them to the temple, join in the purification ceremony, and pay for them to have their head shaved. Then everyone will know the rumors about you are all false and that you also help observe the Jewish laws. Now, let's stop right there. Not for the point of salvation. But Paul is going to do this out of respect because he's trying to alleviate the tension. It doesn't bother him to do it if he's doing it unto the Lord and it's genuine. But again, and I'm saying this again and again and again and again and again, this has nothing to do with salvation. It has to do with honoring one another. And remember, we're going to get into this. Paul said, I become all things to all men that I may win some. Sometimes you'll do things that you wouldn't normally do, but you're doing it because you're trying to be a helpful and a blessing, and it's not affecting your relationship with the Lord. I have this happen. I've been a Christian for 45 years, okay? I've been in ministry for 43, which is kind of funny. I've had this happen, if not twice a year, once a year, if not twice a year, my entire Christian life, where I will do something that I wouldn't do, but it doesn't affect me or the Lord. It's not offensive. I'm not doing anything to dishonor God, but I'm doing it because it's more of a tradition for them, and they think it's really important. I'll give you a quick example. One time I went to a church, and in their church, when they do the offering, everybody – can I use that word, everybody – jumps up and claps, and I mean they start dancing and so on and so forth, right? I don't normally do that. But I did at that church. I don't think God was like, why? Because that's what they were doing. It's no big deal. I wasn't doing anything to offend God. I was doing something to be a blessing for my brothers and sisters. There's nothing wrong with that. It's not the church I would normally go to. It's not the way I would normally do it. But to be really honest, it was kind of fun. So, I mean, big deal. So they're like, we need your help here, man. We're having some problems And dude, they're mad at you. So it's like he's like, we need you to help out, right? And he even tells them in verse 25, and this is where the teaching really needs to come in, where the church needs to do maybe a little bit better job. Not they just need to be aware of it. Said, James, after he says, hey, help out, can you do these things? This would be really great. And he goes, as for the Gentile Christians, all we're asking of them, we've already told them in a letter that they should not eat food offered to idols, nor consume blood, nor eat meat, nor strangled animals, and they should stay away from sexual immorality. James emphasizes that some churches do things differently, which is amazing because we have denominations. The problem is not the denominations. The problem is the attitude about the other denominations. So go to a mirror. I'm on a roll. Let me finish. Go to a mirror, look in the mirror, and tell me if you see different body parts. If the head is Christ, then there's a neck, there's shoulders, there's the chest, right? There's arms, there's elbows, there's wrists, there's hands, there's fingers, there's fingernails, right? Just keep going through the whole body. Not all body parts are the same. Are they? I don't know. How many noses do you have? So not all are the same. But then again, there's some that are very, very similar. Fingers are very, very similar. One might be on the left, one might be on the right, but they're very similar. All I'm trying to say is that diversity in the framework, that's the picture of the church. And remember, 12 tribes, one Israel. Not all the tribes did the same thing. Nobody could do what the Levites did or they'd be killed. So the idea of that diversity is fine. And here Paul's like, they're asking, man, we need you to help us. This is a mess. It's a mess. And we need you to help kind of bring steam down on this mess. Can you help us out? You know what? Paul's like, sure. That's what I become all things to all men means. He's not doing anything that's going to break his conscience between him and God. He's not going to do anything that he normally does, but what he's doing doesn't impact. And it blesses those he's around. That's why. You see what I'm saying? Now, this applies to churches, but let me say this real quickly. It applies to genuine Bible-believing, born-again Christian churches. Not every group that says they're a church is a church. Okay, you know that. These are people that have a genuine relationship with God the Father through the redeeming work of Jesus Christ and the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. But in that group, there is cool diversity. Get it? Okay. Is somebody ready to answer a trivia question? Let's send them on through. I'm done with my rant.
No trivia question, but a comment.
Oh, no trivia question, but a comment. Let's send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hello, David. This is Stephen.
Hello, Stephen. How are you, sir?
I'm all right. I wanted a very quick comment. What you were talking about, remember Jesus told the people, do what the Pharisees say, not what they do. He was never trying to say what they were saying was wrong. He wasn't trying to get rid of all of that.
Exactly. He was trying to get rid of the behavior.
Obedience is much more important than getting it right.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
And if you look at the, the story in the Old Testament about the Rechabites, that tells you that very plainly. Obedience is more important than getting it right.
That is exactly right. You know what? I love you. You are so good. And your insight is great. You got to answer this trivia question. Did you hear it?
I didn't hear it.
All right, let me give it to you, and I know you'll get it, okay? Trust me on this one, okay? I know you, all right?
Okay.
How many years did Eli judge Israel? Was it 40, 30, or 50? And the hint is, it's a very common number used in the Old and New Testament. Was it?
Well, that would have to be 40.
That is correct, Vanessa! I knew you'd get that.
Hey, the hints are great.
Excellent job, bro. Excellent work. Love it.
You have a blessed day.
All right, you too, my friend. Bye-bye. All right, great call. Steven's so great. Love him. All right, here, we're going to take our break and then come back. You are, in fact, listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Have you ever wanted to get involved with a ministry that promotes Jesus Christ as Lord, but just don't know how? Serving in ministry is a matter of devotion, time, and talent. Are you looking for a place to try and test the waters? Do you want to get involved? Come join the Ambassadors Initiative. Be an ambassador for the David Spoon Experience. It doesn't pay great. Actually, it doesn't pay anything. But the eternal benefits are out of this world. Be a representative. Why not? It couldn't hurt. Well, we hope not anyway. You don't need to be a professionally qualified minister. You need to have a pulse. By that, we mean you need to have a heart. Just go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. Click on the three lines at the top right of the website and then click on the Ambassadors Initiative link. Fill out the form and we will reach out to you. Sorry, no parking tickets will be paid for you as an ambassador through this position.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Now, if anybody gets offended at this, I apologize that you have no sense of humor. Okay. Like that? That's a good line. Bam, bam. All right, here's the first one. A pastor was leaving his area and was saying farewell to his congregation at the church door for the last time. He shook the hand of an elderly lady as she walked out. She said, "Your successor won't be as good as you." "Well, nonsense," said the pastor in a flattered tone. "No, really," said the old lady. "I've been here under five different ministers, and each new one has been worse than the last." Ouch! Ouch! But this is the one that's going to offend people, which is irony, right? Because that's more offensive than this is, and this is just too... And if you guys get offended at this, I, you know, take a week off the show. But it seems there was a minister who had just all of his remaining teeth pulled and new dentures were being made. The first Sunday, he only preached 10 minutes. The second Sunday, he preached 20 minutes. But the third Sunday, he preached an hour and 25 minutes. When asked about this by some of the congregation, he responded this way: "The first Sunday, my gums were so sore it hurt to talk. The second Sunday, my dentures were hurting a lot. The third Sunday, I accidentally grabbed my wife's dentures, and I couldn't stop talking."
You may be from a Baptist background, a Pentecostal background, a non-denominational background. David Spoon has that too. You may be from the Church of Christ, Presbyterian, Methodist, Church of God, or some other denomination. But if you're looking for a show that's Bible-based, Spirit-led, and a bit nutty, then give David a listen for a while. If you like it, great. If not, no worries. The David Spoon Experience.
If Jesus... Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas, getting ready for our next trivia question. After we ask it, we will send you up to the website, and then we'll probably do history and then do the jokes in the very last segment because there's a couple of good jokes and I want to do them. Okay, here we go. This is a classic. The hint is going to give you the answer you need. Okay, here's your trivia question. How many times was Paul beaten with rods? Is it 6, 3, or 1, and your answer is the same number of licks that it takes on a Tootsie Pop. How many licks does it take to get to the center of a Tootsie Pop? Let's see that commercial. How many times was Paul beaten with rods? 6, 3, or 1 time? If you think you know the answer, you can call us. It's 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483 as well. You can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. Two things to tell you, then I'm going to send you up to the website. Number one, don't forget to check the schedule because this Monday I will not be there, for family is in town. Actually, they're coming in tonight. So Monday will be one of our top 20 replays of all time. Serious. Good, really, really good replay. That's number one. Number two, my interview with Roger Marsh. Roger's way, he's a radio legend. I'm just a radio dude. He's a radio legend. But the interview with him is on the website. It's a little different because he interviews me, so it's not my same kind of, it's only got part of my style in it, I guess. But on the website is the interview. You just got to click on Roger Marsh, and it takes you to his podcast where the interview is. It's the interviews, that segment alone. So you don't have to listen to anything else if you don't want to. And if you don't want to listen to that, you don't have to either. Additionally, please consider giving to the ministry because it helps us. Because without the giving for the ministry, we can't do the ministry. Now, you, like I said, the only thing you get what? You get a receipt at the end of the year. So if you gave last year, you should have got a receipt. And that's all you get. You get anything else. Okay. But you also help us advance the kingdom. And it's tax deductible, but you work that out with your accountant because we are not accountants and giving you tax information. That's how ridiculous the world is. You got to say something like that. Bottom line is Proverbs 3:9, honor the Lord with your wealth and with your first fruits of all your produce. You can do that by giving online. Check it out on the website, hemustincrease.org.
Prayer request?
Hemustincrease.org.
Praise report?
Hemustincrease.org.
Looking to give to this ministry?
Hemustincrease.org.
Confused by what's happening right now?
Hemustincrease.org.
Hemustincrease.org.
Okay, are there any questions? Yes.
Where's the basement?
Excuse me?
Aren't we going to see the basement?
There's no basement at the Alamo.
Yeah, there's no basement at the Alamo. Okay, here we go. Let me repeat the trivia question. Oh, my goodness. How many times was Paul beaten with rods? Is it 6, 3, or 1? The answer is the same number of licks to get to the center of a Tootsie Pop. Your reference, by the way, I should have given you. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 25. If you think you know the answer, 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483 as well. You can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. I have decided actually to do the jokes instead of the history. See, I didn't tell Jacob that till just now on the air, so he has to make the adaptation.
Caught me so off guard.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. You're just like, oh, it's this one. This button instead, right?
Okay, let me go over to this button.
All right, ready. Go to this button, and here come the jokes, ladies and gentlemen. That's right. You're thinking, why do you do that? Well, first of all, the Bible says there's a time to laugh, Ecclesiastes chapter 3, and the other thing is I like doing it. So that's why.
You're thinking, well, that's not very spiritual.
Nope, not really. Okay, here we go. I think these are kind of cute. You don't have to freak out about them. Pretty simple. Ready? Okay. Chris to his friend Mike. Uh-oh. I just made an illegal left turn. Mike responds, that's okay. That police car right behind you did the same thing. Okay. Because he's following him. Okay. All right. Fine. All right. Judge, hey, the last time I saw you, I told you I didn't ever want to see you again in my court. The defendant responded, I told the policeman that, but he didn't believe me. Yay! That's good. All right, last one. Okay, wait.
All right, two more just because you did that.
Where were the kings and queens of England crowned? On their heads. That's where they had your crown. You put the crown on the head. Okay. All right. You're right on that one. Lawyer to defendant. Do you wish to challenge any of the jury members? The defendant. Well, I think I can take that guy on the end. Okay, that's one of those.
You're killing me, Smalls.
I know. That's the one of me killing. Okay.
What's really funny is you guys have to put up with it.
I think that's funnier. Okay, anyhow, let's get back to the text. Your trivia question. How many times was Paul beaten with rods? 6, 3, or 1? Your reference, 2 Corinthians 11:25. The answer, by the way, the same number of licks it takes to get to the center of a Tootsie Pop roll or a Tootsie Pop candy. Okay, back to the text. Verse 26, X 21:6. So Paul agreed to their request. Paul says, hey, yeah, sure, I'll go through this process and make it good. So, and the next day, he went through purification ritual. Stop. Not for salvation. Not for salvation. for salvation. I don't know how many times I got to say that, but I'll say it as many times as I need to. Not for salvation. He's becoming all things to all men. He's trying to alleviate the tension that's in the church. Then he publicly announced, Paul, the date when their vows would end and sacrifices would be offered for each of them. The 7 days were almost ended when some of the Jews of the province of Asia saw Paul in the temple and roused a mob against him. They grabbed him, yelling, "Men of Israel, this is the man who teaches against our people and tells everybody to disobey the Jewish laws. He speaks against the temple, and he even defiles it by bringing Gentiles in." Let's just stop. Paul is going through the temple and doing all the things that he's trying to do. And he's trying to do these things to make everything really kind of cool, right? That's the goal, just to settle everybody down. While he's trying to do, listen to what I'm going to say. You're gonna find out such identity with this, you're going to freak out. While he's trying to do the right thing, spiritually, making it all proper, all of a sudden, there are false accusations being flown at them. They are literally accusing Paul of bringing Gentiles into the temple. They're accused because the Gentiles were not allowed to go in the temple, but they had saw Paul earlier with Gentiles, so they assumed. And based on that assumption, they raised allegations and they went after Paul. And so listen to what it says. The 7 days are almost ended and Paul is in the temple and the people who saw Paul roused a mob against him. They grabbed him. They're not even, there's no verification, I think. They're grabbing him, yelling, "Men of Israel, help." That's like somebody calling out help in a crowd. "This is the man who teaches against our people. He tells everybody to disobey the Jewish laws. He speaks against the temple, and he even defiles it by bringing Gentiles in." Listen to what takes place. Based on assumption, a good deed that Paul was trying to do gets turned around, and they are assuming that Paul did something. And in lieu of that, they flip out. They grab him. They start yelling, "Help! Help!" I mean, if you're in the temple area, if you're in a church and somebody stands up and starts, I just want you to think about this. You're in your church. I don't care if it's 50 people. I don't care if it's 20 people, 200 people, 2,000 people, or 20,000 people. You're in a church and somebody stands up and starts screaming, "Help." Right? Think of that. That's what's going on. And then they're like, "He's telling everybody to disobey the Jewish law." That's not true. "He speaks against the temple." He didn't speak against the temple at all. "He defiles it by bringing Gentiles in." That was an assumption. And they're all false accusations. Wait, I just want you to catch this. Based on Paul trying to do something nice. You know exactly. I can tell all of you. I don't have to see any of your faces. Most of you are like going, "I've had that happen." Yeah, that's what happened. It was just at a major level. All right, when we get back, we're going to show the intertwining of the teaching of the Lord in that process. But first, we'll answer the question, how many times was Paul beaten with rods? Was it 6, 3, or 1? And it was the same number of licks to get to the center of a Tootsie Pop. And the answer is 3. It takes 3 to get to the center of a Tootsie Pop, and it was 3 times that Paul was beaten with rods. And I like what Steve wrote. He wrote, "I guess we'll never know." See, that was the end of the commercial. All right, we'll take our break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Here is a DDD entitled Custom Eyeglasses Used on Others. Custom eyeglasses used on others. 1 Samuel chapter 18, verse 9. "So Saul watched David jealously from that day forward." Stop. There it is. So Saul watched David jealously from that day forward. How do we see people in our lives?
Saul saw David through jealous glasses. He put on these glasses. They weren't the ones from the Lord, right? They were glasses that had much more flesh in them, and then everything was tainted. This is what happens to you and I, and let's just do the honest, you know, those honest moments where we put on our glasses regarding some people, because almost every time we get a communication from them, there's just something coming that's you just know, this is going to be lousy. I haven't even opened it. I'm already dreading it, right? Have you ever gone through that? Right? Or every time this person texts me, I'm not smiling after I read it, or something along those lines. And it could be somebody who, you know, has got a spirit of complaining. It could be somebody that's got a spirit of pride. It could be any of those things, right? And you're just like going, oy vey, right? But you're not saying it much, but you know how you're seeing it. And that's custom glasses. You've already put the glasses on. You've already determined how it's going to be. You're already seeing it through that slant. It's not that they've never done anything. It's just that you and I tend to stay in those zones and see people that way. And so no matter what was going to happen with Saul and King Saul and David, David was going to impute evil motives to Saul's actions. I've gone through this with a professor. I'm just confessing. Right? I had a professor before we started the radio show, and my buddy in the process was a pastor, was my like a schoolmate, and he would write me and go, why does she, you know, jump on you like that? I mean, he was asking me, right? And I'm like, every time this statement, I just instead of having any kind of change of heart or mercy, I was mad. My anger did not work the righteousness of God. And sometimes people do that because of other reasons. It's not because of you. And we need to do a better job of not wearing custom glasses where we see the downside on people. So the question to ask is, what kind of glasses do we use with others? And are those glasses approved prescription glasses from God?
And if you can't shout sight,
oh, welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Well, you'll be amazed to know that fill right there, that fill is going to lead perfectly into the last teaching. I mean, I could not have set that up better. In fact, I didn't set it up, so that should just tell you everything you want to know. So I'm very excited to get there. Wow. Just wow. All right. So let me do the trivia question, right? Okay. Now, to whom did Jesus appear first after he was resurrected? To Deborah, to O Susanna, or to Mary Magdalene? You know, O Susanna, don't you cry for me. Okay. To Deborah, to O Susanna, or to Mary Magdalene? Your answer, by the way, Mark 16:9. Mark 16:9. Okay? If you think you know the answer, 972-445-0770. You also text in 214-210-8483 as well. You can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. We do have somebody on the line that wants to answer a trivia question. Let's send them on through. Knock, knock, this is David. Who am I talking to?
Hey, this is your little brother.
Hey, what's going on, bro?
Hey, not much. I just want to give you a trivia answer and ask you to prayer.
Okay. All right, let me do the whole question and then answer it, okay? Here we go. Here, let me set it up for you. To whom did Jesus appear first after he was resurrected? To Deborah, to O Susanna, or to Mary Magdalene?
Hey, Jude. Sorry, it wasn't Paul McCartney, but I believe it was Mary Magdalene.
That is correct, Amundo! And it definitely wasn't, oh, Susanna, oh, won't you grab for me? It's like, I don't know where that came from. Anyhow, you just got to do what you got to do. What you got on a prayer request, bro?
Just pray for my family. Like my oldest daughter also, you know, my wife has been sick, and my daughter has pretty much similar symptoms. So yesterday we took her to a doctor. So some of the tests were so expensive, and we don't have medical insurance. So the doctor said, okay, let's just see that it will heal by itself. So we are praying. So I want some prayer from our brother and sister that God will supernaturally heal my daughter and my wife. Yeah.
Let's do it. Let's bring it before the Lord in prayer. Let's pray. Father, we come before you right now, and we thank you and praise you for everything. And everything give thanks. That's what you tell us in 1 Thessalonians 5:18. And everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. You tell us that. So we give you thanks for everything. But we need your help. We need healing into Samson's family. His daughter, his wife, they need healing. And they're not in a position to get this taken care of. And medicine's great when it's used right. Everything's great. But, Lord, they can't do that right now. They can't get that access. The only access they have is you. And when there's just nothing they can do, Lord, there's nothing that Samson can do but turn his eyes to you. And that's what he's doing. And we ask you to honor that faith, honor that surrender, honor that commitment and trust. And while it's hard to watch and hard to go through, because it's just always difficult when you're seeing other people hurt, we just ask you to give Samson a comfort, but to bring power healing into the lives of his daughter and his wife and get them out of this situation. And let Samson be able to testify to that and not to carry the burden, but to rejoice with that new song in his mouth. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amen and amen. And I'm praying for all the people that are committed. And also this morning, I believe it was God that put it, your grandson, Ethan, in my heart to pray for him. So I'm praying for him as well.
Thank you, my bro. I appreciate that.
Oh, yeah. And by the way, happy birthday to your better half.
Yeah. Well, it was yesterday, but yeah, she's the better half. There's no question. So I'm her husband.
Maybe most of the best part of you.
there's no question. She's 3/5 of me. That's it. That'll work out fine. Thank you for saying that, brother. I appreciate it.
Brother.
Okay. God bless, bro.
Bye-bye.
Okay. All right. Okay. Do I have time to do this? Nah. Okay, listen. All right, forget that. I want to do this teaching because there's only got 3-4 minutes left. I want to get this in. So we've got through this whole thing talking about Paul. Paul trying to do a nice thing.
See what happens? You do nice things.
That's a joke. You still do nice things, folks. Okay. He's not trying to get saved by doing this nice thing. He's trying to do a nice thing by alleviating tension in the church. He's not trying to do anything wrong. People have tried to alleviate tension in the church, and they get blasted a lot of times. Why? Because the enemy's often at work and those kind of things. We know that. And so as that's going on, they're just trying to smooth the edges. He agrees to do it. Then people see him in the temple. He's doing nothing wrong, but they start accusing him falsely. Why? Because assumption, remember that from The Odd Couple. I'll leave that into your own mind. But assumption is working hard, and they're thinking that Paul is doing all these bad things. They're thinking that he's teaching against the people, and he's telling them to disobey the laws and to speak against the temple, and that he's defiling the temple by bringing the Gentiles in. Because earlier that day, they saw him in the city with Trophimus, a Gentile from Ephesus, and so they assumed, that's what the text says, they assumed he had taken Trophimus into the temple. Here's what I want to tell you about all that, because it's like, wow, that's just so bizarre. That's wrong, that's wrong, that's wrong, that's wrong, that's wrong. Isn't that amazing? You think that, and Paul's getting the bad end of that, and they're gonna go after him. And in fact, when we talk about this next week, they're gonna try and tear him apart. And it's all this great stuff, right? Here, ready? I'm gonna ruin all of that right now. Because it's not the people, the mob, the elders, or Paul, or James, or the elders with James. It's none of them that are in control. Who is in control? God is in control. And because God is in control, It was coordinated in such a way that these people that took offense and didn't like what Paul was doing, and then James trying to do the right thing, and the elders with James doing the right thing, saying, let's smooth it over, let's make what we can do to reduce the tensions, and they do that, and these other people see Paul, and they flip out, and they're going after Paul, and they're screaming, help, 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 and everybody in the world is like going, blah, 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 blah. All of this is by design. You get that? Oh, wait, what? What do you mean all of this is by design? All of it is by design. By going through this process that Paul's about to go through, not only is he going to witness to the crowd, which he would not have been able to do otherwise, but then he's also going to end up going to Rome where he's going to witness. He's going to witness in 30 other places simply because of how this broke down. Paul didn't see it. James didn't see it. The elders with James didn't see it. The people didn't see it. The leaders didn't see it. The Roman soldiers didn't see it. Nobody saw it. But God orchestrated it. And so when you and I are going through things and we're like, that is so wrong. It's just wrong. And then you start looking down on people, right? Talking about, you know, prescription glasses, Christian prescription glasses, and you start getting mad at people. We don't even know from time to time if the Lord's the one who's allowing the orchestration so that he can bring about his purposes. We just think we know everything. We think we know every nuance of every circumstance. We don't. God does. He knows exactly what he's doing. He knows exactly why it's happening. He knows exactly what's allowed for what purposes, even if it's the you look at it and you go, that's the most ridiculous thing. Hey, I got one for you. God didn't destroy Satan so he could use him. So there's really not much you and I can say about our circumstances. Jesus, God uses everything to bring about his purposes. He doesn't ask anybody's permission. He doesn't review it with a human review board. He does what he does because he's God. And even though we don't see the picture, we should see with faith that this loving Father who committed to us has never nor will ever fail us. And we are in his hands. Get it? Okay. All right, folks, you've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas, taking a 22-and-a-half-hour break. Then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
The views expressed in the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.